The Lord be with you.
With your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who has appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Our gospel passage and this parable seem pretty straightforward, and I'm going to take that straightforward course today in my preaching. But I wonder whether or not anybody would have an insight into how this passage can be applied instead of to us as individuals or to particular individuals that Jesus is talking to the nation of Israel. But I'm going to leave that for you to puzzle over. And if you think you have an idea, you can just send me an email or give me a call, and we'll see whether or not you get it right. Here, I think we have something that a passage in this parable that can speak really quite well to us today. And I say that because of my experience as a high school teacher. It seems like many, many years ago, and I think that's perhaps because of that particular environment. I mean, you may remember high school. I'm not sure that many of you would want to go back there. That was very much the same for me. But in my experience as a high school teacher, I would walk into my first theology class of the year, and I would ask the students, "What are we doing here?" They didn't really expect that question to come from me. "What are we doing here?" "Well, why are we studying theology?" "Because if we don't, then we won't graduate." I mean, that's the long and short of it. So, okay, well, it's good enough motivation, but why do you want to graduate? "Well, because we want to go to college." And being the philosopher, theologian that I would like to pretend that I am, keep asking them that question. What's the point? What is the purpose? And what did we come to? This was perfect parable. What did we come to? We came to the fact that all of the kids sitting in front of me, either sophomores or seniors, wanted to store up treasure for themselves, riches, retire early, and enjoy the fruit of their labor. So this is the state of the world right now. We have young people whose ambition is to retire early. That's it. And maybe some of us also bought into that very same line of reasoning. But we can even ask ourselves that question today. What's the purpose? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? Keep asking yourself that question until you get to a point where that question is resolved. And I'll give you a hint where that question is resolved. It's resolved in happiness. Because happiness is something that we pursue for its own sake. We don't pursue happiness for something else. So we have to ask ourselves, well then, what is happiness? And we know because God became man and spoke sometimes clearly, sometimes confusingly, but sometimes clearly to us about what our ultimate happiness is. And that is to have everlasting interpersonal communion. Well, I'm making it very complicated, right? Everlasting interpersonal communion with the triune God. We're made to be friends with God. I'm not talking about friends like we're holding hands walking down the street, although it's all well and good. Friends also challenge each other. Friends live in relationship. There's a back and forth. There's constant growth. Friends care about each other. They want what's best for each other and all the rest, right? So it's a multi-layered reality. But we're meant to share God's very life. And that's what we're doing here today. We are here, I pray, becoming rich in what matters to God. We're becoming rich in what matters to God. How does that happen? It's very simple, because it's the very heart of the Mass. We bring our hearts and our lives before God. We offer God our hearts and our lives in the sacrifice of his Son, right? Jesus is offering himself on the cross. Here at the altar, that's what we're representing. Jesus is offering himself to his Father, to his final breath, right? Jesus is offering himself to his Father. We offer ourselves along with him. That's the dynamic. And if we can do that, if we can offer ourselves along with him, in as much as we do, we receive from God his life. We offer our life. In as much as we offer our life, we receive his life. Now we are enlivened and we're sent forth. Ite missa est. We are sent forth. Go forth, the Mass is ended, to bring to life what we've received here. These questions bear on the meaning and purpose of life. I know Monty Python ridiculed that idea a long time ago. What is the meaning of life? And it's, you ask someone that question, they just start to laugh. But we know we're meant to be priests and kings, priests to offer our lives here at the altar, kings that we might bring what we receive here to bear in the world. Each and every one of us has a life that's filled with meaning and purpose, no matter where we are. Each and every one of you has a life that is meant to be filled with a great meaning and purpose, the mission of God, and really what it comes down to, the love of God. God is loving us into existence today. Let's become who he intends us to be and bring that to the world that so sorely needs it.